Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh. Oh, oh, yeah. It's Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Oh, we got a firecracker for you today. Buckle up, y'all. And if you're listening online, call somebody for this one. Let's be ready. There is no better love than for self and kind. There is no better love. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live. We're going to be talking about the word nigga today, the N-word. That's right, the N-word. But before we get started, let's go through the tenets of the NAAEA. That's the National African American Empowerment Association. The African American Empowerment Association was created and organized to do one thing. That's to create programs that ensure that the needs of the African communities, the African American communities, are met. And they are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, empower our community. Somewhat like this show right here, right? We're doing education, right? So we're going to educate you today on the N-word, if you're not sure about it, why you use it, how you use it, what you use it for. And now for the pillars. Politics. We have to have a political agenda that spans across towns, cities, states, and across the nation, that we have a political agenda that's working for us. Economics. An economic agenda that speaks to our money and the resources that we need to thrive, right? A resource that can build and rebuild our communities. Resources that will allow us to create structure and infrastructure for our communities and our families, that we will have the resources that we need to build if we need to build. Tear down and build something else if we need to. We want to fund a after-school program or buy a bus or whatever we need to do inside of our communities, we will have the resources to do it. Next, we're talking about athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. It's taking care of your mind and your body. You got to do that on a daily basis, the food you eat. Working out, like having a good nutrition and fitness plan where you take care of your body and you're not ailing, you're not sick, right? What can you do sick? Not a whole lot, not a whole lot at all. And then there's culture, relevant cultural programs to help us have boundaries and establish a system where we function inside of a system that we create for ourselves that have us to be able to look at ourselves really positively, love on who we are. Right, and those cultural programs do that, because once you know who you are, baby, the rest is history. And not history, but that's right, history. You'll know. And last, education is a comprehensive education that we need to motivate, empower, and inspire ourselves to learn as much as we can about everything, not just in school, not just in college, but in the community. Right, learning spiritual principles. That's right, spiritual principles that help to establish a good core system of moral values that will begin to stop the mass slaughter that we're doing upon ourselves right now. You know what I'm talking about. Well, we're killing ourselves in our communities. Yeah, guess what? If you got systems in place, that doesn't happen anymore. So we're going to do the work of working on ourselves. And again, I thank you for joining us. We have a free space here. All right, so I want to start by saying this is a very, very free space to share our views and perspectives. And you might not agree with some things, but absorb it, right? Go home, think about it. And if you still don't disagree, it's okay, right? We can agree to disagree and disagree on agreeing. But guess what? At the end of the day, we're still brothers and we're still sisters and we're still family and we're still friends. We can get along without agreeing. Okay, so again, opinions and views are from the perspective of an individual and we respect that on this show. All right, let's slide on over to Brother George for our Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, brother? Yeah, welcome to the show.
Doing fine.
All right, it's on you. Take it away.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, today, just by the theme of the show, today's principle is going to be Kuji Chagulia, which is self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Now, as the course of the show goes on, and the word nigger is debated upon, you'll see where Kuji Chagulia fits perfect for that theme. Now, today's Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to read from Carter G. Woodson's world-renowned book, The Miseducation of the Negro. No systematic effort towards change has been possible. Four, taught the same economics, history, philosophy, literature, and religion which has established the present code of morals, the Negro's mind has been brought under the control of his oppressor. The problem of holding the Negro down, therefore, is easily solved. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. You do not have to tell him not to stand here or yonder. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one out for his special benefit. His education makes it necessary. Meaning that the majority of the education that we receive is about the accomplishments, the world of Europeans, and it doesn't have to include any of our accomplishments or anything about the world that we created. So when you're focused on what someone else's ideas of what the world should be like, then you tend to think that that's your ideas also. Because, I mean, by the mere definition of the word power, power is the ability to define what reality is and have others react to that definition as though it were their own. And that's the exact way that in the past we as black folks in this country have behaved. Now, I know that Carter G. Woodson's book was written back in the 1930s, and I really truly believe in my heart that we're beginning to come out of that sleep that we've been in for about 500 years. And so today, you know, I hope that we can have a healthy debate on the word nigger. So that's me for today, Brother Marvin, and it's back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate that.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
All right. That's my tribute to my brother Stan Macklin as we start the show today. Stan, I know you're with us. Let's keep riding, baby. Let's keep riding. So today, the theme for this show is, will the real nigger please stand up? We had a whole lot of discussions about this word, and we wanted to bring it to the forefront today, the history of it, our opinions of it, our views of it, and what we're going to do with it. The NAACP had a symbolic funeral for this word. They put it away, but we're still using it. Some of us use it as a term of endearment. Some of us are reclaiming it and saying, hold on a second, we're going to call ourselves whatever we want to. Some of us are revising the word, but the word is a racial slur, right? There's a history to this word. It's a word and a tool of oppression. So we're going to talk about it today. I'm going to play my first clip, and then we're going to get started.
Hello. After watching this video, you will find out what the word nigger means. An African-American male. Ethnic slur. Offensive name for black person. Offensive name for a black person. Only a black can call another black a nigga. Extremely offensive name for a black person.
Is there still niggers in American Army uniforms?
It was said without thinking, painting an entire race with a single word. But it wasn't always a slur. Originally, the Latin N-I-G-E-R just meant black.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, nigga.
But at the dawn of America, N-I-G-E-R became N-E-G-A-R to describe some of the first shipments of African slaves.
What's your name?
Kunta. Kunta Kinte. My name is Toby.
Hi. That's a good nigga.
And with slavery, the word was contorted into its current, dark, degrading, hateful insult for African Americans.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers.
Look out, nigger. The Klan is getting bigger.
Over time, it has appeared in everything from ugly propaganda to cartoons to nursery rhymes. Eeny, meeny didn't always end with catch a tiger by the toe. It was tossed about casually in movies well into the 20th century, part of the way of life, but also sometimes to raise consciousness.
You nigger lover.
And in the civil rights era, the stigma came to a head. Author James Baldwin, in the 1963 documentary Take This Hammer.
We have invented the nigger. I didn't invent him. White people invented him.
In the 1970s emerged a new willingness to explore the impact of the word and even satirize it.
And isn't it a lovely morning?
Up yours, nigger.
If you two ever really started going at one another, inside of 5 minutes, he'd be calling you.
Don't say it, nigger.
He's dead.
It hardly disappeared in the 1980s and 90s, though white people rarely said the word publicly. Some black people did, a lot.
It's black people and it's niggers. And niggas have got to go.
Straight out of Compton, crazy mother named Ice Cube. From the gang called Niggas with Attitude.
As a society, we've tried to ignore it, ban it, literally bury it.
The NAACP held this symbolic funeral for the N-word.
And we've perhaps added more gravity to the word just by refusing to say it.
Whenever a white lady on CNN with nice hair says the N-word, that's just white people getting away with saying nigger. That's all that is.
All right. Will the real nigger please stand up? This is a word with so many meanings, so many connotations, so many views, so many perspectives. So here at the NAAEA today, we're celebrating Black History Month, and we're going to celebrate self-determination. We're defining ourselves now, right? We're naming ourselves, we're creating for ourselves, and we're speaking for ourselves. So today, let's speak about the word, what we're going to do with it, and where we're going. Fourth, are we going to be niggas, my nigga? What we doing here, people? It's the NAAEA Community Conversations. We're going live now. I'm starting with 0946. You at the top of the deck. Good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I am going to just listen. I have been on the phone all day and I'm trying to transition. So right now I'm just going to listen if that's okay.
All right. All right, I'm going down to 6306. If you're talking, I'm listening. What are we doing here? With real N-word, please stand up.
I'm here.
6306.
I've heard this so many times that, you know, our black people will say, well, we're taking the word back. And so that's why they use the word nigga, not nigger, but nigga, because we know that the slave masters or whoever used to call us niggers. So we use it as a word, a term of endearment. And so that's just what comes to mind when you said something earlier about, you know, the word, no matter which way we use it, you know, it's still offensive either way. But, you know, that goes back to, you know, your girlfriends calling each other a B-word or, you know, anything else. So, you know, I guess some things are just kitchen table talk. You know, you can say it at the kitchen table, but to use it out in public is not the best thing. It's gotten to the point now that I even hear white kids using it because it's so much in rap.
Is that productive?
It's counterproductive. It's very counterproductive.
Right.
I mean, because I heard, so, you know, I heard this young man on the phone. He's 20 years old. He was like, that nigga this and that nigga that, and he did this and that nigga this. And it was just like, you know, he was using nigga like he would use the word dude. You know, it wasn't like he was saying, you know, something, you know, like, I'm going to kill that nigga. No, it was like, that dude did this and that dude did that, and but he was just using the word nigga. And he was doing, I mean, we were in a restaurant when he was doing it. I mean, he just did it so casually.
So we have so many meanings, right? It could mean lazy. Could mean, right? So many things. It could be stupid, right? It could be an insult or a racial epithet, right? Or it could be something positive or a term of endearment. In my research, my nigga was coined more for slave owners' children who were claiming black children to say, you're my nigger. My daddy purchased you so you could play with me. So it's a form of telling the slave that I own you. You're my property. And so we have to understand, we can rephrase it or retool it or reterm it, but we have to understand how derogatory the word, the intent of the word, and then we can create our own intent. How about that? All right, so I'm going to move on down. Thank you, sister. I'm going to come back to you because the conversation is going to move on. I appreciate that. All right, 9282, you're next on the deck. It's Marvin Rome and, of course, my brother Stan Macklin.
What's up, my nigga?
Welcome to the show, brother.
Ain't that how we say it? Ain't that how we run with it?
That's right.
but because this is Black History Month, let's go back in time for a minute. White folks gave us every so-called name we have. They include nigger, spook, coon, negro, colored, spade, boy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they also gave all those names meaning. And all the meanings that they gave those words, you know, like boy was just a term you call a young adult, I guess, a young child. If you're male, young, a boy. But to us, it became boy. You're like, come here, boy. Bend over, boy. You know, so all of them became a so-called hateful racial slur as defined by the white man. Then he had to show us what a nigger looked like, because nigger became the one that really stuck on the plantation, you know, really stuck. Now I'm back on the plantation time now. So imagine like the clip you played earlier from Roots when they brought more slaves over from Africa, and here you have pure-blooded black folk in chains and shackles, gunpoint, being dragged off of slave ships on a plantation in Virginia. And when they get on that plantation, you got these warriors who's trying to escape black kings and queens, you know, that these people trying to turn into niggers. And when they see their brothers and sisters that have been here for some years and they look at them and they hear them talking, the first thing, you got to imagine what they're thinking when they look out and see Fiddler. It's like when Kunta Kinte saw Fiddler. What is wrong with you?
Hmm.
He didn't realize that he was being introduced now to a nigger. He's seeing his brother in appearance, in skin. His brother not no longer speaking his language, don't understand his language. His brother no longer has his name, but he's being introduced. That's a nigger. That's the slave master's nigger. So I got to teach the rest of y'all how to become niggers. Now, I'm going to beat you to death, kill you, some of y'all, because y'all know y'all going to be bucking like some of them buck. But until I get you broke and I can stand back and proudly call you a nigger, then that's where I'm trying to take you. See, in a little while, you're going to be like Fiddler. You're going to be my house nigger. You're going to be my nigger. Now, what's a nigger? And under those terms, I think the nigger is a nigger is somebody who loves his master more than he loves himself. A nigger will kill another nigger when his master tell him so. And the main thing is, a nigger produces more niggers. We have to teach our children how to be niggers. We have to teach our children so-called how to survive in this country. I got to teach you how to act like a nigger or you may get killed up in this thing. You got to learn how to act right around master nigger. So it's now my job to turn you into a nigger, to show you how to act. Remember, you got to love your master more than you love yourself. You got to hate yourself, nigger. You know, when I call you, come. If I said jump, you ask how high, nigger. But the brothers and sisters that were coming over that were slaves, imagine like a brother told me one time, they were like an eagle flying above. And he looks down and he sees some chickens. And he swoops down to get him a chicken, but next to his chicken is another eagle. But this eagle has been raised by the chickens. His egg fell out the nest and was hatched by a rooster. So this eagle is now walking around pecking on the ground like a chicken. He doesn't know he can fly. He doesn't know his power. Mm. And the other eagle now telling him, come on, my brother, let's get up out of here. Fly. I can't fly, he tells him. What do you mean you can't fly? Man, you're an eagle. You can soar. No, I'm not. He goes back to pecking like that chicken. That's the making of a nigger. And, brother, you ask the question, will the real nigger please stand up? Every last one of us should have stood up. Let me say that again. Every last one of us should have stood up.
Hold on, brother. Hold on now. Hold on. Hold it now. I ain't nobody's nigger. I'm independent.
That's what you Yeah.
I'm not buying into that philosophy. That's their opinions and views. That's their word, not mine. Don't apply to me at all. In
what,
no way.
What did Brother George say earlier when he was doing the Willie Lynch moment and when he was doing the Kwanzaa? What was the mind, the mental mind? You don't have to tell a nigga to go to the back door anymore. He'll create one if he wants to. Once you control his mind, he'll do all the things that a nigger's supposed to do, and you don't have to be around anymore. You can take the shackles off. You can take the chains off of him and send him out there wild, and he'll do what your nigger's supposed to do. That's what we do. We shouldn't be out here rapping and talking about nigger this, kill this nigger, pimping our women and doing the things that we're doing in our neighborhoods, each other, pushing dope, shooting each other in the back of the head, drive-by shootings in our own community is not safe no more. Tell me those are not niggers acting like the niggers supposed to act. Brother?
I would agree that some of our people are, but that don't apply to me. That don't apply to me. That's a behavior and a mindset that don't apply to me. But I will say that conditioning is in place, and that's why we're doing the Willie Lynch thing. That's why we're trying to destroy the Willie Lynch chip and educate our people. I'm going to have to go now, but I'm coming back to you, brother.
I'm going to come back to you.
Thank you. All right. I'm going down to – no, I'm going to hold on for a second. I'm going down to 9016. 9016 is Marvin Ronan, Stan Macklin, Empowerment Hour. Are you talking? If you're talking, I'm listening. 9016, going once, going twice. Maybe they listening, Stan. All right, I'm going down to 9560. This is a tough topic. Maybe y'all don't want to talk about it. 9560, Marvin Roan, you're live online. If you talking, I'm listening. All right. Hey, the line is packed. I'm going over to 4358, Brother George. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. You got anything you want to share on this subject?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. This particular subject is really touching to me because I kind of grew through the era when the word nigger was taboo in the black community and none of us wanted to be identified as a nigger. And that was through the 60s. And some kind of way, like in the middle or latter part of the 70s, the word started coming back. And I believe that it came back not to discredit, you know, the hip hop and the gangster rap era, but it came mm-hmm. back essentially through those sources, and in particular the gangster rap culture brought it back strong. And you know, it hurts me every time I hear my people use that word, because you know the word. The way that the word itself came about and the impact that it actually has on our people when you're using a word that you don't really even understand how much history that our people have with that word and how mm-hmm. much you're really like disgracing yourself when you use that word. And it's a lot of young people that they try to tell me, you know, that it doesn't mean that, you know, and it means something different and all that. But that has the same, you know, has a lot to do with power. Like, power is the ability to define what reality is and then have uh-huh. others react to it as though it was their own definition. And so when the white man sees us able to call ourselves nigger after all those years that he calls us nigger in a derogatory way, and now we have figured out the same way that Brother Booker was talking about when he said in the Willie List segment that if there is no back door, we'll cut one out. If there is no nigger, we'll figure out a way to use the word nigger. And that's what we did. And it's through mind control. You know, they control uh-huh. our minds. And I mentioned the other day that if we weren't out of our minds, none of this other stuff would be possible. It wouldn't be, like, we don't see the connection between our communities being exploited, you know, through economic exploitation, through different racial groups that come in and they have us, you know, buying products from them, but they don't return anything to the community. They don't return jobs unless they feel like, well, if I hire a couple of them, then I ain't got to worry about getting robbed. You know, it's not like they're actually hiring you because they really want to give you an opportunity of advancement in life. You know, it's like an exploitation thing, you know. And that word, nigger, is connected with all of the other stuff. Because, like, the way I was taught in my teaching that, when the white man is looking at you, he know that you God. He made a nigger. So when they looking at you, they say, is this a nigger or is this a God? Because they don't know until you open your mouth. And then we open our mouth and say, yeah, nigger, that nigger, that's a dumb nigger. They know that they talking to a nigger, not God. You know, so, and it was an interesting book that was written called From Niggas to Gods, and we need to really reevaluate how we go around defining ourselves, because we're going through a struggle trying to re-educate ourselves as a people as it is, and we have just as many people struggling to keep us where we at than helping us out of the condition that we're in. But like I said earlier, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to be a struggle, but we're going to get there, brother. So that's my prayer. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Here's what's clear. Education is the key, and we can continue to move that word forward if we like. It's our choice. But I want us to think about some of our young people who doesn't understand how painful that word could be. And really, is it okay? I mean, if you're not a nigger, then it don't apply. Like, to me, it doesn't affect me because I don't even use that word to have an effect on me. That's a word that I know they're using, right? And I know why they created it. Okay, so we know that the origin of the word came from the word black. So let me go to a clip, and I'll be right back.
Yesterday, Charlotte, North Carolina television reporter Steve Crump accepted an apology from Brian Ibers. The two men were involved in a confrontation last week during which Ibers used the N-word, and Crump recorded it. Crump was on assignment in Charleston, South Carolina, reporting on hurricane recovery when he walked past Ibers. And a warning, the next two videos include use of the N-word.
What did you call me?
All walks of life.
What did you just call me?
I called you sir.
No, you did not call me a sir. You called me the N-word, right?
I did. I believe I did call you the N-word.
You're a f***ing idiot. You're ignorant.
So you really are a nigger then.
Well, the N-word is one of the most contentious in the English language. Special correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt explores its origins and use with Harvard Law School professor Randall Kennedy. It's part of our year-long Race Matters Solution series.
Professor Kennedy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I don't have to tell you, we're dealing with a very contentious word, but it wasn't always that way. So take us back when it was more benign.
It's like many words. It has a mysterious, it sort of rises from the midst. So for instance, in 1619, when there are reports about the first blacks brought to British North America, they are referred to as N-I-G-G-U-H-S. Well, it doesn't seem that that was meant in a derogatory way. It seems merely descriptive.
When did it become the kind of word that is so controversial today?
Go back and take a look at what some black writers were saying in the 1820s, the 1830s. They make mention of how white people would tell their children, if you don't behave, we're going to put you in the nigger seat. If you don't behave, we're going to make you sit with the niggers. That's why we know that by then the word had become a slur.
So why are people like, you know, very successful popular comedian like Larry Wilmore who addressed the president with the word at the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
So, Mr. President, I'm going to keep it 100. Yo, Barry, you did it, my nigga.
But also a lot of the rappers and people, what don't they know? I mean, they're using it almost as a term of endearment.
The infamy of nigger is, it's a word that has been used to terrorize people, to put people down. But it has also been used in other ways. It's also been used as a way of putting a mirror up to racism. So Dick Gregory titled his first memoir, Nigger, an Autobiography. Richard Pryor had a number of albums. That Nigger's Crazy, Bicentennial Nigger. Is he using nigger to put black people down? No, he's using it ironically. He's sometimes using it playfully. He's using it often as a mirror to shame racism.
And I don't want them hip white people coming at me calling me no nigger or telling me nigger jokes. I don't like it.
Then you've got people who have the idea of taking nigger back. So you have some people who say, well, nigger has been used to put us down. What we're going to do is grab this word and we're going to use it for our own purposes.
But do they know the history of it?
Well, one of the reasons I wrote a book about this was because I got the sense that there were especially young people who were using the word, who did not have an understanding of the history behind the word. So I spent 40 pages just giving instance after instance after instance of the way in which this word has been used to hurt black people.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't it also been used against other ethnic groups, Chinese, Mormons, Jews?
You know, it's the atomic bomb of racial slurs. It is the racial slur that has been used in other contexts. So, for instance, Palestinians, the niggers of the Middle East, the Irish, the niggers of Europe. This is a term that has been generalized around the world. If you want to put somebody down, analogize them to the nigger.
Given the power of this particular word that we're discussing, the power of it to wound, what is the solution to that?
I don't think there is a solution other than education. People ought to know that even if you were using the word without malevolence, even if you are attempting to use the word in an ironic way or as in a term of endearment, there's always the problem of mistake. So I've gotten hundreds of emails over the years from white kids who say the following. I'm riding around with my black friends and we're listening to rap. Is it okay if I say nigger because we're shouting the lyrics of these rap songs? And I say to people often, it may very well be that you're with your friend. It may very well be that you have no bad intentions. But if you're out in public, and especially if you're white and you use this word, there's the problem of the person who's right next to you who doesn't know you at all, who doesn't know what your intentions are, who doesn't know about your friendship with your black buddy over here. But as soon as the word nigger comes out of your mouth, this person slaps you, or worse. Simple prudence would dictate that you use this term very carefully, if ever.
Some of these younger people using it are not using the full word. They're abbreviating it.
There's some people who make a big distinction between nigga, which they say is okay, and nigger. Now, in my view, it's important to know about that distinction because some people put a lot of weight on it. I don't.
So how should people who find it so offensive and who understand the hurt associated with it respond?
What people should do is explain to their friends, to their neighbors, how they feel when they confront the word nigger. And why they feel the way they feel. So a number of years ago, I was in a bookstore talking about my book, Nigger. And a man said to me, "Professor, I've heard all that you've had to say and all of your analysis about why it is that sometimes nigger should be tolerated. I've heard it, but I'm going to tell you something. When I hear the word nigger, I remember when that word was used by people who would not allow me to vote and who put me at the back of the bus. And when I hear that word, that's what I think about." That was very powerful.
Absolutely.
That was very powerful. And what I said to him was, "Sir, I understand. I understand why you do not want to hear this word." And I think that people are going to have to talk with one another and share these stories and share these feelings. And I think that that's the only way in which we're going to come to a higher, a deeper understanding of why people have the feelings they have with respect to this.
All right. Let's get a deeper understanding. Let's talk about this for a minute. All right. Let's explore this word. Why are we using it? How are we using it? Should we use it? And let's educate our young people. Let's educate our communities on who we are, right? We know that we've been through a lot in this country. And we know when the term is used as a term of endearment. We know when it's a derogatory statement. But when you look at the overall meaning of the word and the intent of it, when we talk about just the word nigger, not nigga or any abbreviation of it, right? We know what it means. But when we go back to the claiming, right? So that term claimed us. They claimed us with it. But it's another word for black, which we all are, right? And so how could we reclaim this word if we need to for ourselves? Because at the end of the day, we're naming ourselves and we're defining ourselves and we're doing it ourselves. I'm going over to 0946. 0946, are you there? Are you ready to talk?
Yes. Good evening.
Hey.
I believe the using of the word nigga is we can explain it behaviorally. Because of our conditioning and programming, it makes sense from that perspective. But mm-hmm. I do believe because we have a reaction when white people use it, that there's something mm-hmm. in our subconscious that knows there's something wrong with this word. And so because we don't want to be accountable or responsible for the ownership of the word, because if we were going to be accountable and responsible, then anybody could use the word and it'd be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That because we're the only ones that can use it, it is a symptom of the identity crisis that we've had in this country for 500 years. Because number one, black, nigga, color, people of color, indigenous, those are just names. They're not about community. It's not about family. It's almost like an illusion of something that the white man has told us who we are. And so that's why we keep circling around. We back to black, but we'll switch around and we'll move around to African-American again, and we'll move around to people of color. We'll just keep moving around because we're still trying to figure out who we are. But mm-hmm. I believe deep down in our consciousness, we know that there's something wrong with that word because we don't want anybody else to use it. So it's schizophrenic in that I can use the word, but I don't want you to use the word. So it's all right for me to call myself a nigga that I'm nothing and mean nothing and all of that, but I don't want you to say it. You know, it's kind of like fat people would call one another fat, but a skinny person better not do it. You know, so it's one of those things where it's behaviorally, like I said, it can be understood, but there's something pathological around it because we're split. We have a split consciousness on it because we don't really own the word. If we own the word, anybody could use it. We do not own the word. It's schizophrenic to think I can use the word, but you can't use the word. So I think that deep down we use the word because it's still one of those pieces from a very sick position that we relate and connect under that oppression, under that conditioning. So we find commonality and we find camaraderie around that. So I think that that's why it's so hard for people to let the word go, and I think that's why behaviorally we will fight to use the word because it's still a place that we're connecting from a deficit.
Right. That makes sense. The sister broke it down once again. I think we have to think about how we're thinking about what we think about. And what I mean by that is you have to always think about, and that's what the brother is saying, your conditioning. We've been conditioned. And so as the conditioning continues, we have to put things in place ourselves. We have to educate ourselves to ensure that we're in a good place mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you, sister. I'm coming back. I'm going to try to get back around again. I'm going down to 8128. Appreciate it. 8128, you're live. You're on. Are you available?
Okay. I'm available, my brother. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine,
Hello?
Brother. How are you?
Okay. Listen, this is a great show. And I think that what the brother said about reclaiming that word is something that we need to do. When you told me that this was going to be part of the topic of your show today, I looked it up in a dictionary. Okay, and what I saw was is that, first of all, the word Negro, of course, as we all know, means black. And what they did was systematically over the last 500 years, they took out that name for black or African, and they turned it into something derogatory for their purposes. I totally agree with you that we need to reclaim it. We need to reclaim it by educating people what the origin of that word is and how it was changed to suit their needs. The only reason it's derogatory is because they said it is derogatory and they used it in those terms to enforce that indoctrination. Okay.
You got that right.
Submission and superiority. So by us reclaiming things ourselves, then we actually bring about that change with an explanation. You must be educated on how things were done over the last 500 years in order for you to change people's perspectives and for you to own who you are. Okay? That is what the Empowerment Radio is about. And this is what we as black people must be about and represent in our community. We must tell people what our history is so that we can make our own decisions. We are not going to accept somebody else naming us, categorizing
That's
us,
right.
or defining us by anything at all. Okay? That's what we have to be about in order for us to become self-sustaining, independent, self-possessed people. Okay? Nobody else can tell us who we are. Okay? And that's what I got to say, brother.
All right. Okay? Thank you, brother. You laid that down really nicely. All right. So we know the origin of the word could be from Spain or Portuguese or in Latin, right, or in French or any of the European terms to really call us what it is that they saw. I'm cool with that. But it's the derogatory piece, right, that we have to get away from. And saying that this word was used in a negative way and we're reclaiming it. So how do we reclaim it? Let me get to that in a minute, and then I'm going for a speed round and try to get everybody back in who want to talk. Here's my final clip.
Well, I know this. Anyone who's ever tried to live knows this. So what you say about somebody else, you know, anybody else, reveals you. What I think of you as being is dictated by my own necessities, my own psychology, my own fears and desires. I'm not describing you when I talk about you. I'm describing me. Now, here in this country, we've got something called a nigger. It doesn't in such terms, I beg you to remark, exist in any other country in the world. We have invented the nigger. I didn't invent him. White people invented him. I've always known, I had to know by the time I was 17 years old, what you were describing was not me, and what you were afraid of was not me. It had to be something else. You had invented it, so it had to be something you were afraid of, and you invested me with. Now, that's so. No matter what you've done to me, I can say to you this, and I mean it. I know you can't do any more, and I've got nothing to lose. And I know, and I've always known, you know, and really always, that's part of the agony. I've always known that I'm not a nigger. But if I am not the nigger, and if it's true that your invention revealed you, then who is the nigger? I am not the victim here. I know one thing from another. And I know I'm going to born and I'm going to be, you know, I was born, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. And the only way you get through a life is to know the worst things about it. I know that a person is more important than anything else. Anything else. I learned this because I've had to learn it. But you still think, I gather, that the nigger is necessary. Well, he's unnecessary to me, so he must be necessary to you. So I give you your problem back. You're the nigger, baby, he isn't me.
Take This Hammer, filmed with James Baldwin in the spring of 1963, was produced.
All right, there's James Baldwin. He put it back. He did a Serena Williams and hit that thing back to the other side. Because whatever you project on somebody else is really what you see in yourself. How about that? I'm going to the lines for the last round. I got 9 minutes. I'm going to try to get everybody in. If you want to talk, I'm listening. I'm going straight down the pike. And think about what James Baldwin is saying. He said, you can't do any more to me. I'm not a nigger. So who's the real nigger here? And even if you're conditioning people to believe they are, it is you who have the issue because you're doing the creating. You're changing words to change people to change minds. Y'all might not like me today, but the truth is that somebody got to tell the truth to educate our people that we've never been niggers. We've only been conditioned to act. All right, I'm going over to 6306, and then I'm going straight down the line. 6306, are you ready to talk?
Yeah, I'm ready. So it's all funny right. You should say we've been conditioned to act that way. So now when you bring that up, one of the connotations of nigger has been the way somebody behaves. So I have heard, like say for instance, a black man is talking about his manager or the person he works for. Because he works for his white. Man, that nigga did such and such and such and such. He's not talking about a black man. He's talking about a white man. So now you're talking about how the word is being used as a way to describe
right.
somebody misbehaving or behaving in an unfavorable way. But we're talking about words and the power of words. And
mm-hmm.
I think about how words lost its meaning or lost. It's so many things that like nursery rhymes and stuff like that Mr. Booker Chambers was talking about earlier about things that it was from a clip, things we say or have said in the past that we don't realize now, or that was a negative connotation or was bad. And I have a feeling this word is going to get to a point where they're going to forget what the daggone word means and start using it. Because I think a lot of our young people don't even know that nigger actually means black. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know it means black. So that's my two cents.
True. True. KRS-One said it this way. If you think about it this way, President Obama, for example, was president. And say we were in charge. And when we were in charge, president was a really good word. And so say the Chinese and the Russians got together and came over here and took over and made the word president bad because that's how we saw it as good. And every time you said president, you knew it was a bad word, but it was started out being a good word. And so we have to think about how they changed the word when they came into control and into power. And now we have to be able to say, hey, this is how we see the word. This is how we're going to unify on the word if we can. But it's up to us now to reclaim ourselves. And I'm talking about a mindset and a mentality. Because whatever we call ourselves is what we're going to be. 9282, it's Marvin Rohn. What you got? Oh, you're breaking up. They don't want him to talk. I'm going to come back to you, brother. You're breaking up real bad.
I'm breaking up. You
all
can't
right.
hear me?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Can you
right.
hear me now, brother?
Can
yes, hear
me
now?
I can.
Yes,
sir.
I'm saying we need to take the power from the word. The word we should not let anything anybody say hurt us and have us acting like fools. I don't care. You can say anything out your mouth. I'm taking the power back. I want to say this, brother. I wish I knew what we called ourselves before slavery. We don't even know if we called
brother.
Ourselves black before slavery. We don't know if we called ourselves African Americans or whatever. The whole thing. Remember, before James Brown, we couldn't even say black. until he said, I'm black and I'm proud. So we don't know. There are descriptive terms that, as the previous callers have said, that they have laid on us. Now, our actions should define who we are, not what somebody else say. See, they created the slave, as I said earlier. They created the action, then they gave it a name. That's a nigger right there. See, after I done taught you how to act, how to be my slave, then I'm going to define the other. That's my nigger right there because he knows how to act. Like we do a dog. That's my dog Butch because Butch knows how to act, and I gave Butch that name, describing Butch. But the power is with us. We don't need to take it back. Take the power away from it. I don't care what you say. That it's on me. My action is going to tell you what kind of person I am, who we are as a people. You can go and say anything you want to say, but it's on me. Here's my character. Here's who I am. And you can say, nigga, you ain't talking to me, as you said earlier when I said we all should stand up. No, I'm not in that category. If we're going to say a nigga is a beautiful, loyal, loving, caring person by nature, friendly, a father, man, a god, a husband, then I'm a nigga, if that's how you're going to define nigga. You know? But other than that, we define it, as you said, take the power out. The word should have no power at all. We give it power by how we handle it and how we treat it and how we react to it. No, I'm not going to let you have me go off my mind and act a fool because you say, and I don't care if you say nigga, whatever. No, doesn't affect me. My actions.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother. I got 3 minutes left. I'm going to try to get everybody I can. 5324, you're alive. If you're talking, I'm listening. 5324, going once. You there? All right. All right. How about 6646? 6646. All right. How are you
doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I just wanted to say that I do feel like that we're giving the N-word too much power. And, and, you know, they can name us and say what they want to say, but it's a color. It's not an act. It's not people. It doesn't define us. And I think that us as a people, we can reclaim it. We could do a whole lot of other things, but if we don't own it, we don't have to worry about it. Let other people deal with it. You know, they call our brothers from the South, from South America, they call them the new nigger, you know, and things like that because of what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry. I'm trying to
That's
rush
all right.
Away
Take your time, brother. Hey, you can finish it out. Yeah. Whatever you want to say, I'm listening.
Take your time. Well, I want to say this. I enjoy the show. Brother Brown, this is Mr. Gilliam. Brother Gilliam, and I just want to thank him for inviting me in and welcoming me to the show. I've been listening from afar for a little while, but today I this N-word thing, we both work in the community, and where we see young kids use it, and they don't understand it, but I think Brother Brown and I are in a position to help our people and teach them different and show them different and educate them. So going forward, maybe we can just eradicate the word at the end of the day.
All That's right. Thank like you, brother. I appreciate you calling in. That's what it's all about. All right. It's about education, right? We're going to have to educate ourselves. We're going to have to do the work of working on ourselves. Who better to do it than us, right? So as we continue to move down this road, these shows are about getting us to think about ourselves, what we're doing, and the conditioning. We had a Willie Lynch segment because we know that there's been some conditioning taking place for a very long time, and it's time for us now to be able to change that so we can become the rightful, righteous people again, right? And we can be able to determine for ourselves what the future would be like for our children. And nobody's going to determine that except us and what we do and what we think and what we say. So that's going to be it for today. Thank you all for calling. I appreciate you and all the words. If you listen, I just want you to think about what we're doing, right? The conditioning is over now. It's a new season, and it's about us changing ourselves one day at a time. So if you would just do the work of examining your own thinking, your own conditioning, your own acts, your own actions, your own ways, how you treat yourself, how you treat your people, and let's get this thing together. I'll see y'all next week. Come on, join me back next week for a great show on the Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of doing this, and if we keep on working on ourselves, we can't go wrong. Peace.
To find the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to
run away
where the brave dare not go, to
right
the unrightable wrong, to
love
pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest. Without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
Peace and quietness you're sure to find,
and the world will be better for this. That one man scorned and covered with scars still strong.